Dear friends in Jesus Christ, with the help, with the guidance, with the strength of the Almighty God, we have made it all the way through 2020. But what is our situation now, though? Well, we're in 2021, and I would say that things are kind of about the same as 2020. So sorry to bring that bad news. However, though, we have a choice. We can allow the circumstances of life to control us, or I suggest we choose to go forward in all the best ways, regardless of the circumstances. That's my recommendation for you and for me. Today we focus on a section in the Bible that's kind of a rare section. It's talking about the life of Jesus when he transitioned from being a boy to becoming a man. So as this is a time of transition for him, may it also be a time of transition for us as we set out some goals for 2021 and have a plan that's actually a workable plan that will carry us through the new year in the very best way. Thinking about the early years of Jesus from the time he was zero until the time he was 12 years old, what do we know about that time? We know a fair amount of things from the time prior to him being born, and then maybe for the first 8 months or so of his life. We know a number of things. Let me skim over those now. So we know the Son of God came down, he put on human flesh, so he was born and he was visited by shepherds. And then he was named Jesus and he was circumcised when he was 8 days old. And then when he was 40 days old, that's when he was in the temple in Jerusalem. And then after that, him and his parents, they traveled back to Bethlehem, and sometime after that, they were visited by the Magi, by the wise men, and they were brought the special gifts. And then, shortly after that, they had to flee to Egypt because we know that Herod the Great, he had sent his murderous soldiers into Bethlehem to put to death every baby boy under 2 years old. And then shortly after that, we know that Herod the Great died. So at that point, we know that Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, they went and settled in Nazareth. So we know those events, and those all happen probably before Jesus was even 1 year old. What we come to now is a passage, as we get into our text today in Luke chapter 2, it's a passage that really is describing the whole rest of the time between what I have just described and Jesus becoming 12 years old. So the Bible says in verse 40, the child Jesus continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So we don't know much more than that. We know that God blessed him with parents who were God-fearing parents. We know they were, in a sense, Old Testament believers. So they were looking for the Messiah to come, and God gave that Messiah right into their family. It was an awesome thing. What else did they do then? They themselves would have known the Holy Scriptures, and as Jesus is growing up, what are they doing? They're teaching him the Holy Scriptures. So we can imagine that all those things went on a daily basis for our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to when he was 12 years old. We only have one incident in the Bible that tells us anything about him between the time he is about 1 year old and the time he is 30 years old. We have one thing in the Bible, and that would be the thing we're focusing on today when there's this trip taken to Jerusalem and so on. It appears that Jesus is lost and some other interesting things that go on. Wouldn't it be nice to know so much more? How was he as a kid growing up at home? Was he a good teenager and did he do all the right things and was he a standout kid in every way? We can only imagine that he was, but we just don't know that information. But what is God saying to us? God is saying, it's important that you know the early information that's critical. It's important that you know about his ministry and about what he did to take away your sins. What happened in between? Not so important. Interesting by all means, Someday we'd like to talk to Jesus and say, by the way, what was going on there? Or maybe better yet, let's talk to Joseph and Mary and let's hear it from their side. But we don't need to know that right now, though. Let's focus on our text here for today. Picking up in verse 41, the Bible says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he, that is Jesus, became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days," so that was a total of an 8-day feast, because the feast included the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, and also falling during that time is the feast of first fruits. So it was an 8-day period of time. So after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan, in other words, among relatives or friends, not directly with them, but somewhere in the caravan, and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. So keep in mind, they were in Jerusalem. Now they're going to travel back to Nazareth, a trip of about 90 miles or so, and it would have taken them probably somewhere between 4 and 7 days to make that trip walking. So they had traveled a whole day back, and now they can't find him, so now they have to travel a whole day in order to return to Jerusalem. The Bible says, "When they did not find him among the caravan, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions." Looking at this a little bit as I prepared the sermon, it seems that rabbis, oftentimes in their process of teaching, they wouldn't just give people information, but they would ask people questions. I think that can be a good teaching technique, maybe one that I don't use a lot, but I think it can be helpful though, because when we hear a question, what does that do? It's like it's turning our brain on, and now it's getting us thinking. And as we get thinking, that way we can maybe come up with the answer, and even if we don't, we're at least paying attention better, and we're ready to grasp the answer when it comes. So these rabbis were probably asking Jesus questions, and then what was he doing though? He was probably beginning to ask them questions, and they were very surprised at what he knew. In other words, to ask a good question on a topic, we have to know something. For example, if I was talking to a brain surgeon, I don't think I have a good question. I don't know anything about that. I think I have a brain in there, and I'm thankful I don't have a need for a brain surgeon right now, as far as I know, but I don't really have a good question I could ask him or her because I just don't know that much about that topic. But think about Jesus, though. Here he is, 12 years old, and yet he's asking probably some pretty good questions, because what does the Bible say? All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So what does that mean in part? That means that Joseph and Mary did a good job of impressing the scriptures upon their son. It's important for all of us to do the same. Whenever anyone is willing to attend a class or to gather with us and hear what we have to say about the Bible, it's good that we take advantage of those times and give them the Word of God. Nothing is more important. And then in verse 48, the Bible says, "When they saw him," in other words, when Joseph and Mary saw Jesus, "they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you.'" So notice it says, "your father and I." I think that is the last reference we have to Joseph in the entire Bible. So he's never referred to again after that. When we think about Jesus being on the cross 21 years later, when he's on the cross, There's no mention of Joseph. Joseph would have had to have died at that point, because what does Jesus do? Jesus was taking care of his mother, and then he entrusts the care of his mother to John, his closest friend. Joseph is no longer around. If you think about what I said on Christmas Eve, we know that the job of Mary was to bear the Christ child. We know the job of Joseph was to give him his name, and I'm sure that Mary and Joseph did many other things, but you should be able to see very clearly how Joseph and Mary very quickly fade out of the picture. And now the spotlight is on our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus responded back to them. With the words that Jesus responded with, those are the very first words in the whole Bible that we have Jesus speaking to us. He's never said anything recorded in the Bible prior to this. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, we have many times where we have the pre-incarnate Christ who is speaking. But this would be the first time, though, where we have the Son of God in flesh and blood saying something that's actually recorded in the Bible. So what are the first words? Jesus said back to his parents, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" But the Bible says they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. Why is that? Think about the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary, and then the angel appearing to Joseph, and then Mary having a baby, and yet she had never been with a man. All kinds of miraculous stuff. Or think about what Simeon and Anna had said at the temple. Or think about the Magi bringing the gifts to the baby Jesus. All these extraordinary things. But it makes me wonder, though, after all of those extraordinary things, did things become kind of normal? And did Joseph and Mary maybe tend to forget that Jesus is the Son of God in human flesh? We don't know the answers to those things, but it is a little bit unusual that they just did not understand. And then the Bible says in verse 51, "And he," that is Jesus, "went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them." That means he continued to obey them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So think about the last thing I just read there. Those words are really describing our Lord Jesus Christ for the next 18 years until he begins his ministry, because we don't have information there. So we had a summary statement at the beginning of this passage that brought us from about 1 year old up to 12 years old, and then this section ends with another summary statement taking us from 12 all the way to 30. So again, God hasn't given us much information, but we have all that we need. We have even more than we need for this life. We can find out more in the life to come. What I want to do now with the rest of the sermon is think a little bit about 2021, how we can set some goals. I invite you to take the insert out that you have in your service folder. You can see on it, it contains the opportunity to note 5 different goals for this year. So I'm hoping that you'll begin to do some of it now. I'm hoping you'll finish filling it in when you get home. But goal number one, I'm saying choose something that has to do with the Bible. There are several options that come to mind. Kathy put some sheets like this out in the back, and it's a way to work your way through the Bible in 1 year. There's also a plan like this where you can work through the New Testament in only reading 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. You can work through the whole New Testament. So it explains all about it in here. Another thing I would encourage you to do is try doing a little bit of scripture memory. So if you look in our daily devotion brochure and you open it up here to the inside, you'll see right here I have different tips on how to memorize. So it's a very simple, logical thing, but if you look at the tips, so they begin here and they continue on the back. When you put something to memory, you'll be surprised that it will really make a difference. It's nothing like just reading it or thinking about it, but it's at a level beyond that that you can't experience unless you memorize it. So what you really could do is you could pick a verse today, for example. I'm going to share a verse up here with you at the end that will be a great verse to memorize for 2021. So you could take that verse, go over the tips, and you'll have it memorized in no time, and that will be a great blessing to you. Harold had mentioned to me that if you have a smartphone and you have the YouVersion, there are many, many different Bible reading programs embedded into that app. And of course, if you don't want to actually read it, you could push a button and it will read it for you. So all kinds of different easy ways to get into the Bible. So I invite you to choose something. And then on the second goal here, I'm saying choose something that has to do with faithfulness. None of us are perfectly faithful. So for those who are doing very well, thank you so much. That's a blessing to me. For those who are struggling, God is saying, take a step in the direction of faithfulness. That could include being more faithful in gathering for divine service. That could be more faithful in attending Bible class. What about in giving? You know, giving is a unique thing. People think that when they give, they're going to have less. But actually, the Bible teaches in so many places, the more we give, the more we get. The more we give, the more we get. That makes no sense at all, does it? But that is exactly what the Bible teaches. I'm going to talk more about that in the future. And what about more faithful in serving? All of us are gifted in certain ways, and God has gifted us in order to use those gifts to be a blessing to others. So think about how God wants you to do that. Another thing I'm encouraging you to do is have a goal in regard to a relationship. So think about someone that you're in relationship with and understand it's important to talk to that person. That's a way to develop the relationship further. If there's any kind of sin or sins that have been committed, it's important to either extend forgiveness or receive forgiveness to put all that stuff behind you. And then when you think about a relationship, it's important to focus on the other person, notice the needs of the other person, and then to take action according to those needs. Those are ways to help with a relationship. And then how about a goal on something good for our health? A lot of people are into wanting to lose some weight. Honestly, there are some people that need to gain some weight. That happens too, doesn't it? But anyway, though, with losing weight, one of the popular things today is what is called intermittent fasting. So what does that mean? That means that you pick a certain window of time each day when you're going to eat. So you want to pick a big window if you're going to start the process. So for example, you might pick a 12-hour window. So you might say between 8 o'clock in the morning and 8 o'clock at night, I can eat whatever, whenever. But after 8 o'clock at night, I'm not going to have anything until I get to 8 o'clock the next morning. Now that should be pretty easy, and it's probably not going to help that much on dieting, but it will help you some. But after you get into that routine for a while, then you shave off an hour. Maybe you say, I'm going to wait until 9 o'clock in the morning, but I'll still eat until 8 o'clock at night. But as you make that window smaller and smaller, some people have gotten that window so small that they're doing all of their eating in about 4 hours or maybe 6 hours, and the whole rest of the time they're not eating. But you'll be surprised, though, not only will that burn off some pounds, but that will also get rid of toxins in your body, and you'll become more healthy in a number of ways. The other thing that, of course, is good to combine with that would be healthy eating. So if you're going to eat for 12 hours, well, it doesn't mean eat a bowl of ice cream every hour on the hour. That's not going to be so helpful, but you have to have some healthy eating in there too. And then, of course, it's good to have some exercising. And then the final one here I'm saying is, how about having a goal on doing something to make a difference? A very broad category, make a difference. What could that include? You might have something at home and it's broken. And it's just been broken for quite a while. What could you do if you have the ability? Take the time and fix it. You've made a difference if you fixed it. Maybe it's not fixable, so what should you do? Throw it away and buy another one. That's a way to make a difference. There are also so many other ways to make a difference. You might say, there are people in need over there, and I have abilities, and I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to help them, and I'm going to make a difference. Or you might identify something here at the church. For example, today, it's time already to take down the Christmas tree. Terry Tomash and some others are going to gather after Bible class 11:30 and take down the Christmas tree. If we have 8 or 10 people, that whole thing will be done and put away in about a half hour. So I'm hoping that you will stay at 11:30 and do it, and it will be done so quickly. So that's a way to make a difference. With all that said, though, how many people have what you might call a New Year's resolution, and then it never seems to happen, though? We think about it, we might even write it down, but it doesn't happen. So that's why I did this thing I'm calling a roadmap to success. So I think these are important things. First of all, we want to make sure that we are seeking the will of God when it comes to setting the goals. That will help us have the right goals so we can read the Bible, we can pray about it, we can get the advice of mature Christians. But then what's important, though, is that we share our goals with others. Think about the intermittent fasting, for example. Let's say you decided to do that, and let's say your window was 8 to 8. If you share that with the other people in your family, now I'm accountable to them. I was planning to have a snack at 8:15, but wait a minute, I already told all of them I'm not going to eat after 8 o'clock. So it's good to let other people know what your goals are, and then they can help you. They can become your cheerleaders, in a sense. Another thing that's important is we decide we're going to move forward every day to some extent. Now, with our different goals that we have, it doesn't mean that we're going to be successful every day with every one. Like some people, for example, they might say, I'm going to buy one of those things and put it on my wrist, and I'm going to go so many steps each day. And maybe they say they're going to do 5,000 steps each day. And you kind of get that pretty quickly, just walking around church and so on. You'll be surprised how many steps you get. Now, if that's your goal, and let's say you're ready to go to bed one night, maybe not quite bedtime, but it's evening time, and you look down and you're like, oh, I only have 2,000 steps today. Well, you might say, it's too late to be able to get another 3,000. However, though, in about 15 minutes of walking around my house, I can pick up another 1,000. So that way you're not like giving up on the thing, you're not throwing in the towel, but you're saying, I can't accomplish the whole thing today, but I'm going to do something in order to move toward what my goal is for the day. So don't give up, but do something in order to make it happen. And then it's important that we celebrate every success. When we think about a success, who has ultimately given it? The Almighty God has given it. So let's give Him thanks for helping us to get to where we are, and then have some kind of healthy celebration. The celebrations are something to look forward to, and they will help carry us along on the roadmap to success. And then finally, I'm saying, let's decide that we're never going to give up. I say that because I believe it's better to die trying than to live with the regret of giving up. Have you ever given up on something in life? We can all probably think of something that we committed to and then we gave up on it. We just don't like to have that feeling, do we? That we said we would do it, we planned to do it, and then we gave up. That's not a good thing. We don't want to have to live with that. So let's not give up no matter what. Again, we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to accomplish everything, but let's keep moving forward. Let's not give up, and let's realize that God's going to work through all of this, and God's going to renew us. God's going to lift us up. God's going to help us. God's going to bless us. God's going to use us to be a blessing to others. In all of that, we rejoice that in Christ we are forgiven, sure, but God has so much more for us here in 2021. So may God help us to seek it out and to pursue it and to know that He will help us. Let us always remember that all things are possible with God. Think how the Bible is filled with impossible sounding things. And what did God do? He brought them all to pass. Nothing is impossible with God, and that applies to your life and to mine. That applies to our congregation. That applies to our nation. That applies to the world. Nothing is impossible with God. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this new year, 2021. We thank you for giving us faith in Jesus, assuring us that through Him we are forgiven. And we thank you that you can help us to rise above our circumstances, to set out some good goals for this year, and then to pursue them with your help, with your strength, unto your glory. Help us, dear Father, in every needful way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.